Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey this summer solstice. I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I have been so lazy today. We woke up, had the little puppy waking us up he woke me up and he let my daughter sleep. They stay in the same room, but he came all the way down the hall to my room, woke me up at 7 o'clock this morning. So it was just a lazy summer, sultry day here in the South. So I just want to welcome you this evening. And I don't know what you're doing this first day of summer, but I hope it's doing what you love. That's what I hope you're doing, something that you love. And if in case you don't know what summer solstice is, it is the beginning. Well, it's the longest and shortest day of the year, but it's the longest day in the sense that the sun is now changing. It's kind of the point on the horizon where the sun appears to rise and set, stops, and then reverses direction. It all has to do with axles and all that. So I'm not real scientific, but I have to share with you that I am starting to study astrology in a way more for my helping people than and understanding it for myself. But I am so amazed at how it helps folks that on July 26th, I am going to be having Genevieve Verling, I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right, but she's an astrologer, intuitive flower essence professional from California, Grass Valley, California. And I'm actually going to have her on the show July 26th. So I want y'all to make sure that you put that date down because we're going to be studying basic astrology and we're going to be talking about it. And it's just so fascinating to me to, you know, have all of this coming into my life at this stage. But now that I understand astrology, I just love to learn. I will be learning on my last breath. So that's just my soul's journey that I like to learn. And when I start to get bored, I'm thinking, something's not right in my life. I got to wake up and get some life in here, get some sun in my life and figure out what in the world I'm not doing. Because if you're not alive in your life, there's something that spirit is trying to share with you. And I have to tell you, and I don't know if anyone understands it, but I trust that you will. I have a spiritual guide named Chief. He's an Indian, of course. And I wear a Chief Indian ring because I'm done with the marriages for the physical lifetime, this life. I've had enough. And so that's sort of like my spiritual wedding ring, if you may. I never take it off. I wear it even when I'm swimming in the lake and all. But I just want to share with you that it's been amazing to me because as a clairvoyant, I'm also clairsentient in that I can smell. I can smell things. And he comes to me all the time with that sage, that beautiful sage. But it came in at first with smoke. And I finally told him, I said, you know, Chief, I said, I can't handle the smoke. I'm allergic to smoke. So you got to come in with a little bit more, sage or something like that. So it's been a lot more pleasant with him coming in now because it's not so strong. But, you know, tonight I want to talk about boundaries. And I'm like, I'm sure everybody's out there saying, oh my God, how boring. I mean, this is the summer solstice. Couldn't you find anything? Well, it's a new beginning. And boundaries basically are keys to our success and our freedom. I am in my later years compared to someone in their 40s or so, or 20s for sure. And I have to tell you that I didn't know what the word boundary was. I mean, yes, you can say, well, can you say no or can you say yes? Those are boundaries, certainly. But I didn't even understand what boundaries were. We had no boundaries in the family that I lived in. I mean, I didn't have the understanding of discernment, of boundaries. I didn't even know what it meant. So, I mean, these are definitely spiritual laws. When you're talking about the spiritual law of discrimination and discernment, that is what I'm talking about. That is a natural law that we spoke about. I think I was last week, two weeks ago, because I had the numerologist on last week. But the spiritual law of discrimination and discernment or boundaries is absolutely critical, y'all, to our lives. And there's a spiritual boundaries, there are spiritual boundaries, and there are physical boundaries. And, you know, I don't even know which one I want to talk about because I channel in as I talk. But I just want to let you know that I have studied this for, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, because up until then, I didn't even know they existed. So I'm not going to sit here and say I studied them all my life. I didn't even know they existed. And you can imagine the trouble I got into in relationships, not understanding discernment, discrimination, and boundaries. And when I think of discrimination, I mean this, the ability to discriminate against good and bad, about, you know, what's a boundary and what isn't a boundary. Now, everyone knows about the saying, say no. If you can't do something and it doesn't feel right and it doesn't resonate with you, say no. But do it without feeling guilty, without feeling like, oh my gosh, I've hurt their feelings. You know how we all go through this, like, oh my gosh. Now, if you're Sagittarius or if you're Aries, you don't really care if you cross somebody's boundaries because you're going to say what you believe anyway. At least that's what I've learned so far. And I have an Aries, my daughter's Leo, but she also has her moon in Aries. And I mean, I've had to really, what a great lesson for me, because my South Node, which is the things that I came in here that kind of drains me, if you may, is in Leo. So I have really had to learn to be more assertive and more just be authentic. Actually, that's the word, be authentic, because when you're a Pisces, you tend to, or a water sign, especially a Pisces, you tend to just sort of not really always tell the truth or say it in a way that doesn't offend somebody, but you're violating your own integrity because you're not really being authentic. You're not, you know, people don't really know who you are. And so because you're always trying to be so nice and, oh, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. And so what happens is you don't allow your boundaries to be strong. Now, when you don't have strong boundaries, whoa, people can come in, they can kind of take over your life, you start to resent them. It's like the purpose of setting a boundary is to take care of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean having all your ego in there and everything, but you've got to have clear, consistent, and congruent, meaning stable. Everybody knows, okay, I have a friend that doesn't like to shop. And I adore this friend, but she has set her boundaries. Vicki, I don't want to shop. So I don't go and call her up every 2-3 weeks and say, hey, friend, do you want to go shopping with me? What a cross of boundaries that would be. It would be like, no, Vicki, I've told you, I don't like to shop. I do what I have to do when I have to do it, and that's it. So I'm honoring her boundaries. Now, if I don't have those same boundaries, and if I can't speak my truth, and I'm speaking for all of us here, when I say I don't mean necessarily me alone, but all of us, when we don't set our boundaries and become authentically ourselves, however that is for you, then we really allow other people to cross our boundaries. And guess what happens? We get annoyed at them. We get irritated at them. And I have to share, I knew a lady, I don't even know if she's alive now, but I knew a lady who was extremely Christian. She was married to a minister in the South, and actually came from California, but she always did things for other people. Oh my gosh, the church. She was there when the doors opened. And I think she even opened the doors. She was there for the poor, so the children. She baked good. She was, oh my goodness. I have to say, she was there for everybody. But then her family knew her as somebody else, and even her close friends, because she came home, she complained the whole time. Her family knew her as a very complaining person, but yet people that knew her from church and around the community would say, oh, what a lovely, sweet lady she is. Well, let me tell you, she complained that they used her. No one else did as good a job as she did. No one appreciated her. And she was simply amazed at how those people that just couldn't get their lives together. So she criticized and complained, except when she was out doing this. So one day, not me, because I'm a Pisces, I wouldn't have been able to ask her, but an Aries, more Aries type, a Sagittarian type of person just flat out said to this person, we're not going to even call her by name, just said, well, if you don't really, I mean, like doing it, why do you do it? She says, oh, I have to the outside world. I have to do that. That's serving others. And basically what she was saying was she wasn't getting the love she wanted. She didn't feel loved herself. The only way she knew how to survive was to look good in God's eyes so that she could go to heaven. But none of this service came from her heart. Now, I'm not here to say whether that helped her karmically. I don't know. And I'm never going to say that was karmically correct or not karmically correct. I certainly would say that of a murderer. But still, I can't judge that way. I don't want to even get into that judgment. But what I found was so interesting was that and I'll share the same thing with boundaries with my own personal family member, my mother. I never had boundaries taught to me, so I had a difficult time when she moved in with us about 10 years ago when I was married. Even after I wasn't married, she was here. But I will have real severe problem with boundaries. She had never taught it to me, so I had to learn it on my own while she was in the house. And it was probably one of the most trying, challenging times of my life, although the greatest gifts came out of it. Were there arguments? Oh, yes. But she never could understand what my issues were because, I mean, she was my mother. If I'm in the middle of a legal call with a client, she just would stand over my desk, listening to the whole conversation, even if it was 30 minutes. She would stand over my desk and just wait for me to get it off of the phone. And by then, of course, I was like, you know, just could hardly function. And, you know, it became very obsessive with my desire to learn boundaries, because I didn't have discernment. I didn't even know what discernment was. Just learned that recently through my energy work. And it goes to show you what kind of life I led. And that's why I feel like an expert at it, because I, besides studying it and reading about it, I also lived without them. So now that I have my daughter, and it's just my daughter and I really, really teach her about boundaries, not just with me, but with friends, with family, with anybody that she's involved with. I don't care if it's a teacher. I don't care who it is. She really is it's a chance for her now to learn what a true boundary is. So what is a true boundary? Okay. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, then I would question that as to whether that could be a boundary that you need to put in. For instance, I some people do not like people coming up to them and hugging them without asking, because they have a kind of a boundary around them. We all do, of this is my space. You know, if I want to hug you, I will ask you. So if somebody just comes up to you and jumps into your space, sometimes that can be very disconcerting, and it can upset people. Now, for somebody else, it might not bother them. But I will say that everyone has that space, and there's some energy work that I do where you can close your eyes and have somebody walk up behind you or even in front of you with your eyes closed, and you can sense them quite some distance away from you. And it's like, whoa, you know, and that's the same thing that when you're passing somebody on the street and you get a very negative feeling, y'all, trust that. It doesn't mean you have to go, you know, be ugly about it. It just protects yourself. Immediately say, something not right here. It could just be that they're having a bad day and they have some negative energy around them, or it could be that there's you need some protection. Immediately ask your angels to come back and protect you. But I want to say that, and I learned this through a group that a family member was in, they had some very, or they still do, have some very strong boundaries. It's a religious group, I will be kind. And if you are not a part of that, well, let's start. If you are a part of that religious group, you are not allowed to watch certain TV. You are not allowed to be on the internet. You are not allowed to talk or read the newspaper, because that particular group does not want you to know about other religions or other situations. They say it's negative, it's bad. Well, they have strong boundaries for their members. Now, you and I would say, ooh, that's cultish. Ooh, that's not good. That's not healthy. And I would have to say, from my viewpoint, it isn't. But from their viewpoint, they see it as a good boundary. So I'm going to ask you, when you're looking at boundaries, you make the decision. If somebody comes up to you and says, okay, Susie Q, I really don't want you to go on the internet because there's too much negative on there. You know, I would question that. Or I don't want you talking to your mother, your brother, your sister. I don't really want you to be around your friends anymore because they're really, really negative. I question that. Now, maybe they really are. But I don't think anybody has the right to tell you who and when you can talk to somebody. Now, you know, let's look at that, because this comes from Hearts Justice, Compassion in the Game of Law. That was a book that I wrote 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was on the bestseller list, but I will say probably sold 80 copies. I mean, wow, you know, but it, you know, when it's on Amazon. But I will say this, that I have a chapter in there on boundaries, because it's, if you don't have clear preferences and act upon them, then you're going to have people violate those boundaries. So that's why these religious groups or other kinds of groups that keep their members real tight in, boy, do they have tight boundaries. I would not be comfortable with that. I don't want somebody telling me who, when, and how I can communicate to the world. I may, you know, disagree with that, and I have the right to. So I would not want to be a part of that group that would tell me, you know, to do that. Now, you know, when you give up your boundaries in a relationship, and I'm talking relationship, mother, father, sister, brother, I don't care what relationship it is. If you start to notice unhappiness, you know, you need to recognize when you're happy. If you're spending your life trying to make other people happy because you're afraid of what will happen in the relationship if you make them unhappy. First off, you can't make them unhappy, but they will tell you that you're making them unhappy. That's a cross of your boundary. That's the kind of boundaries I'm talking about, the very subtle, almost invisible boundaries that you can't, that's a spiritual boundary. It's like, if somebody comes in, and I'll talk about spiritual boundaries for just a minute, because as I channel in, I want to tell you what I get. When you're doing energy work, and I do a lot of energy work, and I am just now, as of last night, thanks to a very dear friend of mine that may call in tonight, I am going to be incorporating some past work that I've learned and very good at, because I love it. It's not an ego thing. It's just that I know that it's a good technique. Let me put it that way. But also, I have some incredible new energy work that I have learned from the SED techniques that are amazing. So I'm going to incorporate these two philosophies, if you will, or these two ways of helping people together, because it's what I use to help myself through friends of mine that we kind of came together on this. It's a powerful tool to assist people to be able to get that darker side out and address it, and then be able to really get their these different laws that we've been talking about in the month of May and early June to really work in their lives better. And because I have a moon in Scorpio, I'm able to dive pretty deep into people's energies. Well, let me just tell you that I won't do that. People ask me all the time, well, you know, will you help my brother or my friend? And I'll say, no, 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 no. Now, I don't dive into people's energies. That's a violation of their boundaries. And it's a violation of my boundaries, because I have a very strong ethics code to not hurt anybody in this life as best as I can. I want to clean up my karma this life. I don't want to create it. Now, I can't tell you what creates it and what doesn't. I just can know my karma score because of my training. I know pretty much what my karma score is. And I know what I need to work out. And there's still things that I have to work out that I want to work out. But I certainly don't want to have karma where I've gone into somebody's energy space. Now, I will share this. About 20 years ago, this is real. So please remember, this is real. I had someone who was a friend who really thought I needed help because I was going through a divorce and they thought that, you know, for whatever reason, I needed help. So they came into my space, and I'm very intuitive and very, well, I can just sense if somebody's in there. I may not know who it is. Well, this person was pretty strong. I knew exactly who it was. And I got like, wow. This person has just violated my spiritual boundaries because this person was not even close to me. This person was like 50 miles away, and they had come into my space. And there are a lot of groups out there that will do that, y'all. And I'm not going to be negative here tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, y'all need to keep your energies protected. If you're working with a lot of people all day long, I don't care if you're a lawyer like I am, if you're doing counseling, if you're a teacher, if you're a housewife, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. You need to keep your energies protected. And if you don't want someone, like I don't even go to massage therapist because I don't want their certain kinds of energy. Some of them are good, but I have to spend so much time protecting myself before I go there. And then I have to clean myself off from their energies. They're not bad people. They're good people, but they don't know about discernment. They don't know about their boundaries. They don't know about the law. They don't realize that when you go in and you work with 10 people and then you happen to be the 11th person and they don't know about cleaning off their energies really well. Some people know it, but they don't know it well. Then they're going to pass on the person before them's energy. And these are spiritual boundaries. Before I start my show each night, I do energy work to clear up my energy so that when I'm talking to you, I don't pass anything to you that maybe have come from a former client, nice person, but they had issues that they hadn't resolved or something. Maybe they just had a fight with their friend or their husband, and then they sit down to do a real estate closing or appointment, you know, for home study, and they're upset. So I spend my day clearing my energy, which is the same thing to me is keeping my boundaries clear and clean. And by the way, I pulled a card tonight. I wanted to share that before I go any further. Peace offering, the white buffalo calf woman. I love these cards because they just get to the point. And I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. I don't know, but a peace offering doesn't mean that you have to go to the person and apologize. It doesn't mean that you have to violate your boundaries to have peace. It means to forgive yourself. If you're upset and you have a family issue and people keep crossing your boundaries by being rude to you or ugly to you, they are crossing your boundaries. But guess what? You're allowing them to do that. Because if it upsets you, then you've just allowed them into your space to upset you. And so there's always people out there in the world, y'all. We're even we do it to other people. We can't control everything that we do. We can only control what our attitudes and our opinions are, that we want to acknowledge our mood and circumstances around what you're trying to remain centered on. Live actively. Please live actively. But at the same time, be aware that if you get your boundaries down, then people can come in and upset you. We can't be upset with them for doing it. I mean, they can be kind of rude and ugly and just like, whoa. But you don't know where they're coming from. And that's a sign of high mastery when you can get to the point. And I'm not there yet. But when you can get to the point where nobody upsets you. And if you do get upset by it, you can clean yourself off pretty quick. Know how to do energy work and learn how to do that. I do. I probably will start doing some BBS radio talks on this because it's pretty powerful. And you want to protect yourself. You want to keep your energies high and you want to keep your boundaries very, very safe. You know, you don't want to hurt other people and you don't want them hurting you. Now, when I mention this peace offering, it is Father's Day. And I want to acknowledge all the fathers out there, even if you have a cat or a dog or a goat, or like my friends that just moved out to California, they had chickens when they were in Florida. Bless their hearts. They had to give up their chickens. I tell you, when my friend, you know, she was on the radio show the other week, and I said, when the day comes where you have a chicken for that's your pet, boy, I tell you, we need life changes. I told my friend, because I said, y'all are getting bored. And 2 months later, they ended up moving. Sandra, how are you? Sandra, are you there? Hello?
Enjoy Sandra listening there? To you. I listen every week, whether I call in or not. But what you said about the boundaries and the family issues, it hit me right in the teeth, Ladybug.
Well, I have to say that I want to share something about that, because when I mention peace offering, I don't know who I'm speaking to about this tonight, but a peace offering doesn't mean, Sandra, that you violate your own boundaries and say, oh, I'm so sorry, we had an upset. It doesn't mean that. It means keeping your boundaries up and saying, if you can't say it to the person's face, you write it down to yourself and say, I will no longer accept kind of behavior. And you put your own boundaries up. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It
and
does.
I want to share something.
Perfect.
Yeah, go ahead.
It makes perfect sense. It certainly does. And it also, you were talking to me the other night in counseling with me and helped me with a great number of things. And I thank you very much, by the way. But one of the things that you did not tell me directly, but you helped me to realize within myself, is I can forgive people for their behavior toward me, but that doesn't necessarily mean, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that I have to go back around them in their company and invite that kind of mistreatment again. I can forgive them and love them from a distance. Thank you very much for indirectly helping me to realize that.
Well, I hope that it helps somebody else. Sandra, I have been in situations with family members where, and you know, how do I say this? In a group that would no longer have anything to do with me because I did not believe in them. And you helped me understand that, you know what? You got to keep your own boundaries up, because if someone does not want to be in your company because you do not believe like they believe, then at that point in time, you have to be strong. You have to forgive yourself, and you have to keep your own boundaries up and not keep going, oh, you know, that pitiful me. I can't believe this person turned against me because I don't believe like they do, or, you know, and that was very sad time of my life. When I got upset by someone not wanting to love me anymore because I didn't believe like they did. And this was blood relative, you know, and I don't get into all that blood stuff. I have the most beautiful daughter in the world, and I adopted her, and she's got my blood as much as anybody else, because we are so connected. So I don't get into all this blood stuff. But I will say familial, is that the right word, familial connection? No, you just got to keep your boundaries up. You're close enough, darling.
You're close enough. And by the way, my name is Sandy,
Yes, it is
changed for life purpose, now you help me with the word, numerological reasons. And that is my name now, Sandy, S-A-N-D-I.
You listen to Richard Andrew King last week then. That's awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I very much enjoyed him. I will soon be having some sessions with him. I've got some other things to handle first. But, oh, yes, he was a great guest, Vic. Thanks for having him on.
Hey, yeah. So I just want to share this with you, Sandy, as well as everyone else listening, is that peace offering does not mean that we sacrificialize ourselves and become a victim and say, I'm so sorry. You forgive yourself, and then you go look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I'm not going to hold anger and upset in my heart anymore. Look in the mirror. Literally look in the mirror. no makeup. You know, if you're a man, just look in there. And I don't care if you've shaved. I don't care what your situation is. But look in your eyes and say, you know, I forgive you. I bring peace within myself first. And then I give peace to you. Now, I'm not going to call you anymore. I'm not going to associate with you anymore. And when Christmas comes, I'm not going to cry my eyes out anymore because you're not a part of my family. I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm going to keep my boundaries up and my discernment up. And I have to tell you, that is the key to freedom. That is faith that God knows what they're doing. Spirit knows what's happening. And it's also patience and knowing that there's a plan there. And in patience and in trust, do we create freedom? Y'all, there's a roadmap out there for us. We have a roadmap to life. Life is not some just, oh, how am I going to live this day? We have those spiritual laws and peace offerings through keeping our boundaries and not holding anger is a beautiful way to keep our boundaries in by not holding anger. Because what have you done? You know, think about it, Sandy. When you hold, what happens to you? Because I'll share what happens to me. What happens to you when you hold anger in your heart because somebody violated you? What does that do to you personally? I mean, I'll share mine too. What does that do to you?
It literally causes lack of sleep. I've read that it anger releases chemicals in your body that literally cause arthritis. It literally, if I get really, really angry, it will literally make my body hurt, and it hurts. It's like I believe you said, and I, as well as I've read, being angry or having bad intentions and holding on to anger is the equivalent of wishing somebody else would die, but you're the one swallowing the poison. So it is just absolutely the most necessary thing in the world to forgive others. Don't let them hurt you anymore. And if you have to, just stay far away from them. But you, for your own sake, you must forgive.
Well, you've said it just beautifully. And I want to share what something happened to me recently. It was probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I contacted someone that I shouldn't have. And I had a reason for contacting this person, but I really wanted to find out something, but you know, I did it in a beautiful way. I just asked, you know, do you have any information on this? Well, they turned around and threatened me and they said, yeah, we'll give you the information, but you're going to do this. If we give you that information, we're going to do this to you. And I became very angry. And I realized afterwards, it took me a few minutes to settle down. And then it gave me the 24 hours after that healing to realize what the gift was. And the gift was that I had violated my own boundaries by contacting this person. I had made my own commitment. Now, listen to this one, y'all. I had made a commitment to myself and to my family not to contact this person again, and I violated it. Well, of course, yeah. I would attract a negative situation because this person, I didn't know why I didn't trust this person, but I didn't. I didn't trust them, but I really wanted this information. It's the only person that could give me this information in the whole wide world. Uh-huh. Of all the millions of people in the world, this is the only person that could give me the information. So I contacted him again. Well, and guess what I found out? Yeah, I didn't really need it anyway. My daughter came out and told me the data that I needed to have. She knew. She didn't even need me to do that for her.
Wow.
Yeah, she already knew. So
she's amazing. She's amazing,
yeah,
by the way.
She is. She is. So I wanted. I had to do almost a peace offering with myself because I'd become so upset that it affected me. And I didn't have my boundaries up. I had no boundaries. I mean, I'm telling you. And when you don't have any boundaries, I don't know what kind of work you go into. If you go into work in a secretary or a teacher or even like Doug, when they're doing, you know, working with people like myself all day long, if they don't keep their boundaries up and somebody comes in and gets upset or something, it can affect them for the day, you know, if they don't know what's really going on. So everybody has, it's a, you know, It's pretty powerful to do that. So, but I just want to mention that peace offering. For let's talk about family for a second, Sandra. Sandy, sorry.
I want to share something with you, and this is slightly off the subject, but yet it's not. But one time, it felt like you very much broke through my boundary and invaded my space. And the way you did that is I was talking to you on the phone, and you said, here, talk to Anya a moment. You know, you put your daughter on the phone. And I basically do not like somebody to put their children on the phone with me. I will make up things. I will strain for things to entertain them, and I'm good at that. But I'm a little bit uncomfortable because it gets tiring if I do it for a while. Thank you for doing that. That child, I ended up talking to her and respecting her as an equal human being, which children are. I don't need to say that. I've always known that, and people know that. But at any rate, she ended up giving me the perfect advice. I don't know whether you intuited about putting her on the phone, spirit led you to, or whatever, but that daughter of yours, and it's been about 3 years ago, so how old was she then?
Oh, she would have been about 12.
She's amazing, so I just wanted to insert that it ended up not having my boundaries crossed. It ended up being a blessing, so thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, she came back from camp this week and said, wow, you know, I really needed a break from camp, because she said they really cross your boundaries. They get into your space there, and you really can't breathe. And I thought to myself, see, she's aware now. She, you know, forever, whoever's listening this summer solstice, just remember that your children deserve to have boundaries too. And, yeah, you know, they can sense if somebody's violating their boundaries. And if your child has been violated in an early age, they won't understand boundaries because they have been violated. If a cousin or a brother or a father or a sister or whoever has violated them and it has not honored who they are in their space, then they won't be able to understand what boundaries are. And you have to work extra, extra, extra hard to teach them by example and by speaking it what a boundary is. Because they won't even know what it is. Because, you know, these children, Sandra, that have been abused emotionally, sexually, or physically, they have problems with boundaries. You know,
yes,
and they will marry people. They won't be able to say no. I mean, when I was very on my one of my early relationships, I couldn't say no. I told the guy, I said, I marry easily. If you ask me, I'll say yes. I mean, that's how much discernment I had with marriage and with relationships. You ask me, I say yes.
And thank God you grew up on that one.
Oh,
but I think most parents cross their children's boundaries. And what I mean by that is by forcing them to share, if they're teaching them that what they have is not really theirs. And like if you had a beautiful linen tablecloth and it was part of the rules that you had to give it and share it with someone and you didn't want to, you would feel like that wasn't really yours and you'd feel violated. And I don't believe in forcing a child to share. I believe you should talk to them and let them make that decision, and they'll grow into certain things they'll share, but it teaches them, I think now, that they don't have ownership. And I'll say one other thing, then I'm going to hush because I want to listen to you. But I took it really to the extreme. My children had to pick up their dirty clothes, and they couldn't leave food in their room, but it was their room, and I let them keep it the way they wanted to keep it. And sometimes, being a neat freak, that was very frustrating. But when I couldn't think of anything else to say, when I would open their door to their rooms when they'd be messy, I would just look at the ceiling and tell them, your ceiling sure is neat.
I love it. Well, I have to tell you, it's the truth, though. You know, our kids' rooms are their space. The only place where I have to keep strong boundaries on a personal basis is that our home is for sale. Yeah. So I whenever my daughter's room gets out of hand, I always say, Anya, do you really want to sell the house? She'll say, yes, Mom. I said, well, then we might want to straighten that up, you know, because yes. That might not be, that's the only way I can do it, because it really is her room, you know. And but when it gets to the point where you have mice coming out or, you know, a stench or something, I think we have to say something.
Yes.
I do think exactly. It gets a little hard. But now one thing I want to ask you, and you don't have to answer me, but y'all, you and your husband and your child, Charlie, don't y'all work real well on keeping boundaries in your space?
We do.
Don't y'all do well? Yeah.
Yes, we do. We would have to, Vic, because by nature I'm a neat freak. I like everything in its place. Everything has its place. I like everything really clean and neat.
You're a tourist.
And my husband, even his friend, and he's the sweetest man in the world, I have to say this first, and he's kind and he's good, and I'm very lucky to have him, and he's lucky to have me. But even his friends nicknamed him Pig Boy. That's the messiest man in the whole wide world. And so we have had to compromise, and I have my boundaries, in as much as I realize when you live with another person, you have to a certain degree, allow them to be who they are without needling them to death. And then he respects my boundaries back by not being as messy.
Oh, well, so, there you go. Nisi, yeah. You remind me of my friend that just moved out to California. Actually, y'all are not too far apart, probably 2 hours away or something, but she's a neat freak too, and she loves everything neat and orderly, and he is a Leo, and he keeps everything just slovenly messy.
That's
and
what Paul is. What is are all Leos just slobs? Excuse me, y'all. I don't mean that ugly. Well, it sounded ugly, but I didn't mean it that way.
I don't know. Now, my daughter's a Leo, but she also has Virgo rising, so she keeps her stuff. But I have to tell you, I don't know. That's just two Leos. I was married to a Leo, and he kept the house pretty neat. I mean, he was very neat. So I think that has more to do with a person than the sign, because I know that was one of my relationships, and oh, was he ever handsome. He was a Leo, and he was pretty neat. Yeah, he was pretty neat. So I don't know, but that's definitely two Leos that you know, and they're moving in this weekend. They're down in San Pedro. Do anybody know where San Pedro is? That's where they just moved to. You don't know where that is? It's Southern Cal.
No, I don't.
So, I think it's fascinating because you said that, and he's a Leo. So I just, but now I want to ask you, how do you handle, because I know y'all aren't in the biggest of houses. I think it helps to keep space. It's easier sometimes when you're in a bigger house. Now I will share this with everyone. I never mention names because it isn't about them. It's about me, but we live in a big old house, and too big now. I mean, that's why I'm selling it, because it's too big. It's beautiful, but it's too big. But my ex-husband and I lived in this house together for, 8 years, 10 years, something like that. And the reason why our marriage lasts so long, the deer are outside. Hi, deer. The reason why, yeah, they're just beautiful. They're looking at me because they need more food. We went to the movies today. Went to the Mexican restaurant and took all the chips home, and then we got the popcorn and gave them the popcorn. So they've eaten it all. Wow. They just love that junk food. But anyway, so what happened was that we lived in this big old house together, and we never had to cross each other. We never had to, I mean, he could walk in another part of the house and never see me. It was so big. And so it kept our marriage together for, 10, 12 years, you see, because mm-hmm. we never had. And then when we got the daughter, that's when things shifted, because all of a sudden you have to spend more time with someone and things happen. And you really get to know somebody in a different way when you have kids. And at that point, then that's when everything, you know, was no longer. it was no longer meant to be. So, and, you know, after that, I mean, before that, right before that, I had lost my son. So, you know, there were a lot of reasons why things just fell apart. It wasn't just that, but that, you know, with the smaller the house you have, I think more that you have to honor space even more. Don't you agree, Sandra?
I mean, you've been in the house. However, I must admit that it has helped. Now, I didn't plan this, and neither did my husband, but he's no longer making a living as an actor, and he did for about a decade and a half, but he hasn't in a while. And the hours he keeps, he comes in sometimes the wee hours of the morning, you know, like 3, 4, sometimes 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And we just keep totally different hours. And so he moved in the front bedroom. And so talking about polar opposites, you can't hardly walk across the floor in there. And then my bedroom, what's become my bedroom, is neat. And he actually tried to come back, but Charlie then thought that whole place was his, and Paul was crossing my dog's boundary, and he started stretching out his long legs, trying to kick him off the bed, and so he left because the dog didn't want him there.
Well, I was about to tell everybody that's listening that Charlie's not your boyfriend. Charlie's your dog. had another name.
That did sound kind of weird. No, I do not have a boyfriend and a husband. Charlie is my dog, and he's sort of
there's a fabulous movie called Max that's about a dog. I think, no, it's a German Shepherd, but it's kind of like your dog. I hesitated talking about boundaries because I think, oh, people are going to be so bored with this. But it affects our lives, y'all. I mean, you know, when you come home from work, or if you're out someplace and you come home in a grumpy mood, it's just because you didn't keep your protections up, your boundaries up. So the people's energies around you, I mean, you can just go to the grocery store for the afternoon or go to, well, you know, some store and have come home in a grumpy mood if you don't keep your boundaries up, which I think might be a really good show maybe to talk to people about.
Yeah.
You know, to help people understand how important spiritual boundaries are. But it's physical boundaries, too. And all I want to say about this, too, and I want your viewpoint on this, Sandy, because you may have a different viewpoint. But if you're going to do something nice for somebody, do it with your heart open. Do it with kindness in your heart. Don't do it because, oh, let's see, did the church see me? Oh, did the politician, people running that I'm going to run for politics? Oh, did the people behind me see me be nice? Oh, did you see me be nice? I don't know what that does. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. I have my viewpoint on it, but I'm not going to share it. But I feel like that if you can't do something with your heart open, I'm not saying don't do it. Be nice anyway, but learn to keep your heart open. If I'm going to be, okay, here's a good example, Sandy. You asked me about something yesterday, and the reason why I'm sharing this with everybody, it's not about sharing us, but I want to share something with them. There was something you asked me about yesterday, and I said, you even offered to pay. And in my heart, I wanted to do it because I care for you. I wanted to do it out of my heart. So I got off the phone with you because I was extremely tired after dropping. It was hot. You know, it's like so hot in this in the South right now. It's like 100 degrees. And, you know, I got these swamp coolers all over the house because I don't like air conditioning. And, you know, sometimes I get a little grumpy and I get tired, you know. And so I was like, and then I sat down to get ready to go to sleep. And I said, no, this is exciting. I really want to help Sandy find her name. So I'm going to have to tell you, that came out of a joy. And I want to share that because, y'all, there are things that we do like with my mother. I used to do things because out of duty. And I became exhausted. I was so dutiful toward my mother. To the world, I was the kindest, sweetest person in the whole wide world. I mean, I was so sweet and kind and nice. But in my heart, I wasn't. And that's the truth. And so what happened was I would do it out of duty or out of guilt. And before long, I started really not wanting to be around her anymore because I was doing everything out of duty. Now, when I go to see her or and call her up, it's not be out of duty. It's like, oh, well, you know what? Let's just do that. You know, it's like a kindness. I do it as a kindness. I don't know how to explain it. It's a different viewpoint. I don't do it out of duty anymore. I don't see her as much either. But I don't do it out of duty. I don't want anybody coming to see me out of duty when I get older. I don't want that. I'm sorry, I don't. I think that's terrible.
I do too. Well, what you said about doing things from your heart, that gives your, I think that helps your spirit to shine through you more and makes you happy. Where if you do something because it's a sense of duty and you feel like you have to and you're forcing it and you really don't want to, I think that leads to you being bitter. That leads to a bitterness. That's just my opinion.
Well, it does. And I did have bitterness toward her. I don't anymore. I really don't. I have. Oh, there's the thunder. I hear the thunder. But I don't have bitterness toward her anymore. I have nothing but love. Now, we don't live together, and we keep separate lives, and that is the way I feel like it should be. But it's not out of bitterness. It's a very different perspective. I can go to the movies now and not have her go with me and not feel guilty about it. Like, I have to go every time I go to the movies, I have to take my mother because it's her movie pass, you know. So I told her, I was very honest. I was authentic. I said, you know, Mother, sometimes I go to the movies by myself because I just need to get away and stay space out. I was listening to Doug say how much he enjoys yard work because you just space out. You don't have to worry about anything. It's like, oh, I'm just out here with spirit. I'm out here with the world. I'm just, you know, digging dirt or staring into some movie theater. Do you ever get that way when you go to the theater or dig it? You have plants. You have flowers, don't you?
Oh yes. We've just recently fixed up our yard, and I love bougainvilleas because I've got the hot pink ones. They bloom all of the time, and I've got two big bougainvillea bush tree plants out there, and then evergreens, and I've got lavender in the front, and a braided fica. Yes, I love plants. I love them.
Well, so you see, I mean, it kind of gets us connected with spirit. Some of us walk, but I just want to remind everybody, because I know it's coming close to the close of the show, but please, y'all, remember to keep your boundaries up, your spiritual boundaries. You know, I do energy work on this. I don't do this show to advertise my energy work. I don't do it. I do it as a service because I love it, but I just want to share that. I do teach that, and I probably, you know what, next Sunday is going to be about how to keep your spiritual, we talked about it this week, next week's going to be about how to keep your boundaries and your protections in your life up. I did write that Heart's Justice. I talk about when I used to go into courtrooms, Sandy, I would put a big white light around me, and I would send the angels into the courtroom before I got there, and I even put it in that book. I think that was a little overboard for most attorneys. They're like, huh? But I did that because
most of them, they need some extra angels around them.
I sent the angels in, and I said, I don't know what is the karma for this day. I don't know what everybody's issues are, and I'm not going to be the one. I just do my job. I do the best job I can for each client. But angels, you be there and protect this room so that people don't leave upset. They don't get up, you know. And I did my spiritual work before I even went in there. Nobody ever knew. And I never ever had a problem in court when I did that. If I didn't do it, I did definitely have a problem. But Sandy, I want to thank you for sharing your new name with us. I love it. It resonates.
Well, you named me, and as I told you, my name all of my life has been a source of turmoil within me. I was my daddy's pet, by the way, and he called me Sandy. And Mother called me Sandra, and just that name alone, pulled apart there.
Thank you.
You named me Sandy Colson Hayes.
Well, I love it, and I want to thank you for calling in this evening. I hope everybody that listened in tonight enjoys their summer solstice. I don't even know that I'm saying it correctly, but I am just thankful to be a part of y'all tonight. And next week, we are going to talk about how to keep your boundaries up so that you can be happier during the daytime and keep your relationships a little healthier and happier. So I thank you. I want everyone to please take a journal out. Give thanks for something every single day. Be blessed. Be blessed, be blessed. And again, thank you, Sandy. And thank you for listening to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki. Have a beautiful week, and I will talk to you next Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific and 7 Eastern. Good night.